Sagt der Mishnah weiter, man sagt es bei Vakama, Perik Vav, Mishnah Beis. Hinicha Bacham. He brought the sheep into their deer. Remember what the word deer means in our Perik? An area surrounded by a fence. There's no roof. In this particular area, there's no shelter at all, and the sun is baking down on them. I'm sure you know the feeling when the sun is baking down on you. You're willing to do anything. Just get me out. Well, the animal broke out, and it did damage. The owner of the sheep is chayiv. He's going to come running. He's going to say, but I put up a more than adequate fence. In the previous mission, we spoke about a fence that could stand up to a regular wind. Here, the owner of the sheep, Tainez, I put up a fence that could stand up, a door that's strong enough to remain standing even with a more than regular wind. The only way this behemoth could have gotten out is by tunneling underneath until the door or the fence caved in. And that's what the animal did. Despite that, we're soon going to learn that the balabas is chayiv. Because you should have anticipated, you should have understood that if the behemoth is left in the sun without any shelter on top, it's going to do whatever it takes to get out. Weiter sagt der Mishnah, Oyshe mesara lecheresh, shoita v'katan. Or let's say we're talking about a case where the owner of the sheep gave over the behemoth to a cheresh, who's deaf and dumb, a shoita, someone who has no das, or a katan, or a child. He told these people, the cheresh, shoita v'katan, you watch it, one of these people. And even if l'maisa they acted properly, they did a good job. Let's say they locked the tzayin behind a real strong door. Well, the ma'aseh v'yatza, the behemoth somehow got out, v'zika, and did damage. Chayiv. The Baal HaTzayin is chayiv on the damages. You were totally negligent by giving it over to a cheresh shayta v'katan. Normally, what the cheresh shayta v'katan would do is to open up the gate. In this case, the ma'aseh, they did a good job. But this falls under the category of t'chilasei b'pshiyah v'saifa b'aynis. And this man, the Omer, holds that one is chayiv for this. Now, what happens if I gave over the shar? Not to a cheresh shayta v'katan, but I gave it over to a responsible, not a babysitter, but a behemah sitter. You know what a behemah sitter was called? It was called a raya, a shepherd. Zakta mishneh mesara l'raya, if he gave over the sheep to a shepherd who was a bendas, who was an understandable person. Nichnas raya tachtav. The shepherd enters instead of the baal hatzayin. In other words, whatever the owner of the sheep would be chayiv on, that's what the shepherd would be chayiv on. That's how we would teach the words of the Mishnah. But the Gemara has a kasha. We already learned in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Tes. The Mishnah said very clearly over there that if you give over the shar to a shemichinam, to a shayil, they take over the bailam. So what's this Mishnah being mechadesh? Therefore, the Gemara explains that here we're talking about a case where the Baal HaTzayin originally gives over the sheep to a main shepherd. And this main shepherd has many shepherds that work for him. They're like his talmidim. And according to the Gemara, this is how we would teach the Mishnah. Mesara l'raya, if the main shepherd gave it over to the shepherds that work for him, nichnis raya, so the talmid shepherd comes in tachtav instead of the main shepherd. And he's the one that has to pay. The main shepherd is potter. The main shepherd is potter. Wait a second, isn't there a halacha that Shaymer Shemassel Shaymer is Chayiv? If I agree to watch your bike, and I give that bike without permission over to someone else, I'm Chayiv. So that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. Here it's different. Because everyone knew when you gave over the sheep to the main shepherd, this was the derech. He gave it over to shepherds that worked for him. And Memela, you knew this when you gave it over to the main shepherd. The main shepherd didn't do anything that was a surprise. The Rambam explains the same would be true if the Shomer gave it over to his son or to a member of his household. You may remember this from Perek HaMafkid, because the rule is, Kala Mafkid al das ishta yubanav hu mafkid. I can't say, what do you mean? I gave it to you. And your son was watching it? Your wife was watching it? No, you should have known that. Giving it to me means my household. But Enochanami, if the shepherd gave it over to a total stranger, then the shepherd would be chay. Sakta Mishnah Vayter, Nafla, if the sheep fell, Lagina, into his friend's garden. Let's say the Rishus HaRabim was higher up, was elevated. At the side of the Rishus HaRabim, there was a drop, and then there was a garden. The sheep is walking along the Rishus HaRabim, and it slipped. It slipped in such a way that the Baalim couldn't have anticipated it. So the behemoth slips and falls into a garden. Ah, geshmak. The day's behema gets up, looks around, and says, "Ah, a garden, very good." V'nehenes. The tzoyin has enough from the peiros of the garden. Now, really, there are two types of hana. There's the hana, like we explained, that he gets up and eats from the peiros. There's also the hana that the peiros cushioned his fall. Either way, mishalemes mashenehenes. The baal tzoyin will only pay the amount of the hana, not the amount of the peiros. The amount of the hana is going to be less than the amount of the actual payments. Why are we being lenient on the Baal HaTzayin? And the answer is because it was an oinus that he fell over there. He shouldn't have to pay at all. Niska Shem V'Regel is something you're only chayiv on when there's a Peshiyah. Well, Amaisa, if you had hana, so pay that amount of the hana. That's a klal throughout the halachis of Nezakin. Wherever the behemah has hana, even though the Bailam are potter, midin mazik, you still have to pay what you had hana. Now, if we're talking about the hana that he ate pay rice, so the owner of the tzayin is going to say, listen, he ate oranges that could be sold for 69 cents an orange, but he doesn't normally eat that. Normally he eats some sa'irim, cheap barley. So I'll pay for the cheap barley that I saved. I don't have to feed it. And if the hana that we're talking about is the fact that the pay rice cushioned the fall, so the question is, how much would a baal hatzayin be willing to pay for someone to put a cushion under his behema so the behema doesn't get hurt so much? Vaitra zakta mishnah. Until now we were talking about where the behema slipped. What if yarda kedarka? It wasn't like the behema was walking normally and oops, fell into the garden. But the behema just walked off into a garden. It's like it went down maybe a little bit, but it was a normal thing. It didn't slip. Vizik, and he did damage. Maybe he ate the pay rice. Maybe he crushed the pay rice as he was walking. Here the din is. Mishalem es masha hezika. He has to pay the entire nezek. The behemoth walked down normally, so you're a pesheya. Why did you bring the behemoth along this way, where you can just walk into someone else's garden? Therefore, you have to pay like you would pay any shen v'regel. And finally, the Mishnah asks, Ketzad mishalem es masha hezika. In this case, where you have to pay for the actual nezek, how do we assess that nezek? Now, if there was a stack of pay rice that was already cut off from the ground, and it was just laying over there, well, that's simple. Whatever that's worth, that's what you have to pay. Whether the behemoth ate it or stepped on it, it makes no difference. If the behemoth damaged pay rice that are still connected, that are still mechuber, still growing from the ground, so now we're not so sure. The Mishnah has to explain to us how to assess the damage. You could say, look, he ate up a certain amount of wheat that was growing from the ground. I could have sold this wheat after I cut it for X amount of dollars. That's how much you should pay. Or I could look at it differently. I could look at this field and say, how much is this field worth with the potatoes that are growing now after the ones that were destroyed? And how much was it worth beforehand, before the behemoth ate up some of the tfuah? This would be a big kula, a big leniency for the mazik. Because if I'm going to figure out the damages this way, how much the field was worth before and how much it's worth now, that's going to be a lot less. Because if someone's buying a field, even if one row is not there anymore, it doesn't take off that much money from the whole field. So that's the Mishnah Shaila. Ketzad mishalemes mashazika. How do you pay for what the behema damaged? If it wasn't an oinus, he has to pay mashazika, not mashanahenis. So how do you assess it? The first way or the second way? Do I charge the mazik for what these payers would be worth if they were in a wheelbarrow? Or do I say, no, I look at the whole field and I see how much is the field worth less? So the Tana answers we do it the second way. And the Tana gives us an example. Shaman, we assess Besa. Besa is an area. That's the amount of pears that it ate. So I assess this Besa, this area, in this field where the saw is missing. And I say, how much was the entire field worth before the behemoth ate these pears? How much is it worth now? How much would a person pay less for the field, being that there's one row that's missing? Again, Sakta Mishnah, Shamin Beisa, we assess this area of the Beisa, Ba'isa Sada in that field. Kama Hesiyava, how much was it worth? How much would a person pay for the entire field before this little bit is missing? Vakami Yava, how much is it worth now? Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon and Reb Shimon says, it depends at what stage these peiros were in their growing process. If the peiros were completely ripe, now when we say peiros, normally, the way we talk, when we say peiros, we think apples and oranges. But the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says peiros, the Mishnah is referring to anything that comes out of the ground. So whatever's growing over here, if it was completely ripe, was ready to be cut, even though it wasn't cut yet, Zakt Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon Aimer, Achla Peres Gemurim, If the behemah ate peiros that were completely ripe, then mishalem is peiros gemurim, then you pay for those peiros. If a pound of this cost $5, you pay $5. Im sa, if he ate a sa of these peiros, sa, you pay for whatever a sa would cost. Im sasayim, if he ate two sa, then sasayim, you pay two sa. When do we say we make a cheshbon, how much the field would have been worth before these peiros are missing, and how much it's worth afterwards, that's if the peiros weren't ripe yet. Incidentally, how much is a sa? So we've discussed this in other Mishnayos and Seder Mayid. There's a very good simon. Askalav gudoy. Do you want to take a pen or paper? And on top, write the word askalav. Aleph, samach, kuf, lamid, beis. Top word askalav. The word underneath should write the word gudoy. But the gimel should go under the samach. The vav under the kuf. The dalet under the lamid. And the other vav under the beis. On top it says askalav, aleph, samach, kuf, lamed, beis. And on the second row it should say gudai. Gimel, vav, dalet, vav. And the gimel is underneath the samach. Now, see how the simon goes. Aleph stands for an epha. An epha is equal to three sa, gimel sa, the samach is sa. A sa, how much is a sa? A sa is equal to, I go down and up, vav, kavim, to six kavim. A kav is equal to dalid lug, four lugim. And a lug is equal to six bayim. That's the last vav of the word gudai. All right, either you chapped it or not. But maybe that'll give us a little bit of an idea how much a sa is. A mikveh has to have mem sa of water. That's the amount that it would take for the average person to be able to toivel in. All right, let's chazer over our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah if you left the animal in the sun, where you gave it over to a cherishite of a cotton, and it went out and it did damage, even though there was a good lock over here, a more than good lock, a lock that can normally stand up to an above average wind, he's chayiv. If you gave it over to a shepherd, the shepherd takes over. Whatever the person would be chayiv on, the shepherd is chayiv on. We explained that although we learned this already, so the chiddush of the mission is, even though the big shepherd gave it over to little shepherds, the little shepherd's a chayiv, not the big shepherd. He's not called a shomer shemasa l'shomer. It's not like a case of where I give over my bike to my friend to watch and he gives it to someone else. Because there I can say, I didn't want someone else to watch it. Why did you give it to someone else? But over here, everyone knows the big shepherd gives it over to the little shepherd. Then we learned the case of Nafla Lagina, where a behemoth fell through an oinus. It slipped on something that the balabas could have not anticipated into a garden, and then had a nah, either by the peiros cushioning his fall or by eating the peiros afterwards. So he said, then the halach is mishalem es mashinahenis. Being that the bailam are an oinus, they do not have to pay. Alsa mazik dir potter. Level lamaisa, you had hana. If your behemoth was falling, and lamaisa, someone could somehow cushion the fall, how much would you pay that person so your behemoth shouldn't suffer or shouldn't get damaged in the fall? Or if you don't have to feed your animal today, you save money. So whatever you save, that's what you have to pay. But if the animal was yarda kedarka, it wasn't an oinus. He just walked right in. So you should have realized if your behemoth is going to go that way, he's going to walk right in. If a behemoth sees a field, he walks in. Then mishalem is mashazik. You have to pay the damages, not just what you had on. And how do you pay for the damage? According to the Tanakhama, we say like this. En hachanan, if he ate peiros that were already disconnected from the ground, you pay for the value of those peiros. But if they were still attached to the ground, whether they were ripe or not, whether they were ready to be cut or not, but lamaisa, they were still connected to the ground, so we assess this field, and we say, how much is this field worth with that row of peiros? How much is it worth now that that row of peiros is missing? A person that is going to buy a field, but is going to see one row is missing, he won't deduct mamish like pound per pound. He'll say, okay, a little bit less. The mazik will gain on this. He won't pay that much. Reb Shimon says, that's only if the peiros weren't ripe. But if the peiros were ripe already and they were ready to be cut, even if the fact is they were still connected to the ground, then you have to pay the actual amount of those peiros.